And so today, I want to share with you how you can have a truly happy Thanksgiving. Back in March of 2004, the one-time queen of domestic living, her name was Martha Stewart, got convicted of some crimes that related to her insider trading of M-Clone stocks. Anyway, after she was convicted in October the 8th of that same year, Martha began her five-month prison sentence. But the biggest thing that she missed was not really her family, not really her television program. She missed her favorite holiday, which is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving too, but it's for different reasons than Martha Stewart. Martha is all about the decorating and all that. I'm all about the eating. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And I pray that you're making plans to join us this afternoon to enjoy a delicious meal. They ain't nobody can cook like Bethel women, amen? And we're looking forward to that. I personally got to tote in a huge banana pudding. And if you're real sweet to me and you give me all your attention, then I might give you some, amen? And it'll be a blessing. But today, Jesus teaches us all something very important. He teaches us how we can enjoy, how this Thanksgiving can be incredible for you too. But first, you got to understand a little bit about what Jesus was talking about prior to the passage I'm going to share. If you want to go ahead and turn there, it's on page 921 in the Bibles in front of you. I'm going to be preaching from Luke chapter 12 here in just a moment. But Jesus had been speaking to crowds of thousands of people, and he was teaching his disciples some pretty deep and very insightly and important issues like these. Y'all ready? Say amen. Amen. He was teaching them about the dangers of hypocrisy. He was also teaching them the high cost of being a bold and unashamed disciple. And so he had their attention. Then out of nowhere, this fellow blurts out a request for Jesus to settle a financial inheritance matter that existed between he and this gentleman's brother. It would be like somebody shouting out in the middle of my sermon, "Hey, does anybody know the score of the Michigan game?" There he is. Amen. We don't know, do we? If it's not SEC, we don't know. Amen. Anyway, but this issue of this man's inheritance had so gripped his mind, had so gripped his heart, that he heard absolutely nothing at all about what Jesus had been teaching about hypocrisy and the high cost of being an unashamed disciple. And so greed, bitterness, and resentment is something we learn that can control our lives too. So it's something to be very, very careful of. It will control your entire being to the point where getting what you want is all that matters to you. That's how dangerous greed is. That's how dangerous covetousness is. And so Jesus speaks immediately to this man's real issue, which was his greed, his materialism. And he begins telling a story, not only to this man, but to all of his disciples as well. It's a parable. You know, an earthly story that has heavenly implications. A parable that illustrates the dangers of greed and the fact that there is much, much more to life than what you possess or what you don't possess. It's not a parable against wealth. We need to know that. Because wealth itself is neutral. It's neither holy or not holy. It is neutral. But wealth can either be a blessing or it can be a curse. Amen. I've learned that firsthand. It can be a blessing or it can be a curse depending upon how you use it or how you abuse it. Amen. And so Jesus wants to share with us this morning three lessons that stand out in this parable of the rich fool. And listen, friends, if we will apply this teaching to our lives properly, I can assure you it will change your perception of gratitude, and it will help you to have an absolutely thankful, awesome, amazing, happy Thanksgiving. Luke chapter 13, page 921, Luke begins writing, "Then one of from the crowd told him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But Jesus said to him, 'Man, who made me judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses.' And then Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store all my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose things will those be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or your body or what you'll put on, for life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, but yet they have no storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the best? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which is here today and the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of them. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, and treasure in the heavens that does not fall, where neither thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And where is your heart today? Where is your heart today? The first lesson that I see in the Lord's parable of this rich fool is that we need to learn to keep our focus on the main thing. Jesus calls this man a fool for placing his primary emphasis of his life on temporal things, on temporary stuff, as my father used to say, stuff that can be here today and gone tomorrow. Fancy cars rust. Thieves can break into a bank and steal. Thieves can break into your home and steal. Moths get into the finest materials and have it for lunch. Flash floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, they can destroy everything in their path in a matter of minutes. This man was a fool because he failed to look at the bigger picture of life. He failed to ask the bigger questions of life, like questions like this. To whom do I belong? What is my purpose in life? Why am I so richly blessed? What am I to do with all that God has blessed me with? Those, friends, are questions that we should be asking of God. And this problem can be not only for the wealthy, but they can also be for the poor. Because whether you have a little or whether you have a lot, one is fussing over and preoccupied with managing his wealth, while the other one is griping and complaining about what others have that he doesn't. So it's a problem for those who are wealthy and for those who are poor. Both the rich and the poor can allow themselves to be captives, slaves to stuff. To stuff. They think that their life is all about how much stuff they have. They think that their worth is measured by how much stuff they have. They think that their value is based on how much stuff they have. But Jesus reminds us that our very lives, friend, our very lives are of immeasurable value to God. And there's nothing you can do about that. You are of immeasurable value to the Lord. And what God has in store for his people is beyond what you could ever dream of or imagine. So don't get hung up in the here and now, because we go into the there and then, amen? That's what we're focusing on. Let us be focused on that now. Jesus illustrates his point by comparing you and I, human beings, to the rest of creation. He reminds us that people were placed on God's green earth as the pinnacle of God's creation. We were placed here to honor the Lord. We were placed here to represent God. We were placed here to reflect his glory, to reflect his beauty, to reflect his kindness, his goodness, and his willingness to serve others. We are to be the reflection of God, the pinnacle of his creation. So friends, let us keep our focus on the big picture. Let us not allow ourselves to get so sidetracked, so distracted by, as Dad used to say, by the stuff in our lives. Because if you become a slave to sin, if you become a slave to stuff, I'm promising you from personal experience, you will end up in the ditch. So let us keep our focus on the main thing. As you prepare your Thanksgiving menu, as you decorate the table, as you welcome your family and friends, friend, as you gather for your meal, keep your focus on the big picture. Keep your focus on the main thing. Can I tell you this morning that the main thing is Jesus? Amen. Amen. So when you sit down at your Thanksgiving table, remember to keep your focus on Jesus. But there's a second lesson that we learn in this short passage, and that is to remember our dependence on one another. To remember our dependence on one another. Jesus called this man a fool because he lived his life only with himself in mind. Only with himself, his own wants, his own desires, his own wishes. You see, he thought the whole world revolved around him. I often tell our young people, hey, the whole world don't revolve around you. We need to learn that lesson as adults too. Because the world doesn't revolve around us. It doesn't revolve around what might please us. No, it's much more important than that. And listen, in a parable of 103 words, 15 of those words are I, me, myself, my grain, my crops, my barns, my goods, my stuff. How easy it is to forget how interdependent we are on other people. Think about it. You didn't even come into this world on your own. Not only did God have his hand in it, but it required your mama and daddy a little bit. Amen? Think about it. You didn't put food in your mouth. You didn't put clothes on your back or a roof over your head on your own. No. Others helped provide all that. Think about it. Even the food you eat today was grown, produced, and processed by other people. Y'all just cooked it. You didn't get an education on your own. Think about that. Others prepared the lessons. Others graded the work and helped move you along in your education process. You have others to thank for your toothpaste, for your toothbrush, for your soap and your shampoo and your cologne. And I'm thankful that y'all are looking good and smelling good today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Y'all are looking good and smelling good. Amen. You didn't even stay well on your own. Think about it. I mentioned it last week. It's God's healing ministry, but he uses a lot of things in his healing ministry, right? He uses doctors and nurses and surgeons. He uses hospitals and dentists, et cetera, et cetera. They all played a part in your well-being. We're dependent on others, aren't we? You didn't build this place of worship. You didn't write this Bible. No, we were dependent on countless thousands of others who not only built this place so that we can gather together and worship, but also provided us this word so that we have a guide for godly living. And I could go on and on and on, but I think you get my picture. This man was a fool. He was a fool because he ignored the contributions of other people. Other people who helped him along his way to get to the place of wealth where he was. He ignored other people. That attitude of gratitude that God encourages us all to have, that was the furthest thing from his mind. He didn't have an attitude of gratitude. So friend, listen, as you celebrate Thanksgiving this week, I want to encourage each one of you today to take time to reflect. Take a little time, y'all, to remember. Take a little bit of time to give thanks for all the countless people who had their hand in bringing you to the place where you are today. That's what Thanksgiving is more about. So set the example, y'all. We're Christians, right? Let us set the example. Let us be the role model. Let us take the initiative and invite others to do exactly what I'm proposing. Be thankful for other people. Be thankful for our parents and our kids. Be thankful for those that are maybe been strangers that had their hand in bringing us to where we are today. But the final lesson out of this parable today is that we need to remember our dependence on Almighty God. Jesus called this man a fool because he was living his life without acknowledging or even recognizing his dependence on God. Can I tell you, you can't take your next breath without God. Every word out of our mouth ought to be, thank you, Lord, for that breath. Thank you, Lord, for that heartbeat. Because we never know when it might be our last. This man regards himself as the master of his own destiny. He thinks that he's in charge of yesterday. He thinks he's in charge of today. He thinks he's in charge of tomorrow. But listen to me, he ain't. And neither are we. It almost seems like this guy had made himself to be the God, little g, amen, the God of his own life. Listen to what he said. He said, I say to myself, self, you got it made. You sure have done good. You sure have worked hard. Now it's time for you to retire. Take it easy and start living on some of that you acquired by yourself. How many in our day live that same exact way. Not just the atheists, but even those people who make Sunday church part of their weekly schedule. They think, you know, God really needs to adjust his plans to mine. They think God needs to fit his schedule into mine, and if more important matters come up, then listen, God's going to have to wait. They think God needs to be there when I want something. God needs to be there when I'm wishing or desiring something. But when God needs me, I may or may not be AWOL. They think that God is the servant and they are the master. You say to yourself, no, I don't think that. I certainly don't say that. But what about the way you live? Are you living like that? Is it a reality in the way that you're living? Only you know the answer to that question. You see, friends, God is God, and he will play second fiddle to no man. You've heard it said, God is God of all, or he ain't God at all. Can you say that God is God in your life? See, we can take his name off of our money if we want to. We can remove the Ten Commandments from our courts if we want to. We can declare it unconstitutional to pray in our schools if we want to. We can forbid employees from wishing their customers Merry Christmas if we want to. You can remove every reminder of God if you want to. But you don't diminish God. You only diminish yourself. You can't exclude God from anything. You're only excluding yourself. Trying to rid ourselves of God is like trying to rid ourselves of the air that we breathe. You can't do it. If you cut yourself off from God, you've cut yourself off from the very source of life. Can't do it. So God comes to this fool just at the moment that he thought he had it made. The man thought that he had prepared for every possible conceivable contingency. He thought he had more than enough stuff to fulfill his luxurious lifestyle. Little did he know that the rest of his life was just a few short breaths away. God says to him, "Fool, tonight you die. And that barn full of stuff that you've got, who's going to get it?" Friend, not a year from now, not 6 months from now, not next month, not next week, not tomorrow, but this very night, this very night, you may find yourself standing before the God of all creation. My question to you is this. Will you be able to say, "God, I'm not worthy, but I plead Jesus. I am unworthy, but I plead the only one who is worthy, my Savior, Jesus, who died for me." Friend, determine today that you're going to gather around your meal table. That we are going to gather around our meal table this Thursday. And that you will take the time to remind yourself of your total dependence on God and your absolute reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and your entrance into heaven. Because without Him, listen to me, you ain't going. Determine that if you're a Christian today, if you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have given your life to Him, determine today that you're going to give practical evidence for the rest of your days of who you belong to. Practical evidence that you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That you're going to make His priority your priority for the rest of your days. If you'll keep your focus on the main thing, if you'll remember your dependence on others, if you'll remember your dependence on God, I can assure you this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to have one more amazing Thanksgiving. And it won't be anything that you put in your belly. It'll be what you put in your soul. I'm getting ready to pray for you, and we're going to have an invitation song. Our beloved Anchored Quartet is going to come up and share a song of invitation, a song of decision. And if you feel like it was you that I was talking about, that God might come to tonight and say, hey, fool, you've been living for yourself. You haven't been depending on others, and you certainly haven't been depending on me. And you want to change that? That's what decision time is all about. And we encourage you to come. I'm not going to tell you what Brother Bill thinks he knows. I'm not going to tell you what some Baptist church thinks that they know. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says about how people can come to Jesus Christ and be eternally saved from the wrath of God and the penalty of sin. So if the Lord is speaking to you this morning, don't hesitate a second to come, okay? Let me pray for you. Father God, we praise you and thank you that you even provide us an opportunity, Lord, to come and be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm so grateful that you've afforded us this day to worship you and honor you. But Father, the main reason we gather is not only to equip the saints to go out and serve you outside of these walls, but also to provide an opportunity for someone to come into a relationship with Almighty God that's possible only through faith in Jesus Christ. If there is such a person here today, we invite them to come to make the best decision of their life. And Father, we'll show them what the Word of God says about how they can be eternally saved from sin and have eternal life in heaven. Father, this is your time, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please stand with us.